This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, and freedom really does work. That is the Ukrainian national anthem, and I bet about that, and maybe playing that anthem if they've got a recording of it right now, for what is going on in that country that connects right with Russia. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be talking, of course, about what is going on in the Ukraine for the bulk of the show. In a few minutes, Christine McDaniel of the Mercatus Center is going to join us, and we're going to talk about sanctioning Vladimir Putin, especially economically, for his invasion of Ukraine. Are there any sanctions, any of them, that will really work, that will stop Putin in his tracks? Well, we'll talk with Christine about it. Stay tuned for that. And the liberal media speculate on how Donald Trump would have handled the Ukraine crisis if he were the president. One pundit wrote that Putin should have invaded when Trump was president because he would have gotten a better deal under Trump. Can you believe that? We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi, so please stay tuned for that. And could Hunter Biden's past love life come back to haunt him? Well, apparently so. And we are going to take a look. And finally, in our ultimate top 10, we think we've got a pretty good one, especially for you people coming out of high school, the top 10 best college degrees to get right now. You want to make good money and you want a secure job. We got the top 10. Stay tuned. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, which is, by the way, in Tampa Bay, from what I understand and see, the best barber you can get to, man. He's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Please call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. By the way, they are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Again, 733-3773. Well, so many things going since the last time we did our show on Wednesday. Apparently, Russia is on the borders of Kyiv. We used to pronounce it Kiev, but now we understand it's pronounced Kyiv, which is, of course, the largest city and the headquarters of the government in the Ukraine. At the same time, the Ukrainian president is seeking a sit-down conference with Putin, and Putin is apparently willing to do so. Apparently, there have been about 140 Ukrainians that have been killed. Of course, those numbers are only speculative. Over 300 wounded on day one of the Russia invasion. Russia is attacking, by the way, from all sides. They call it a three-pronged invasion. Clearly, Putin had planned this out meticulously and is carrying out his plan. So we just keep our fingers crossed that somehow we're going to end this thing as quickly as possible. Now, Biden announced new sanctions on Russia yesterday in the afternoon, and the deployment of 7,000 more U.S. military members to Germany, while maintaining that the U.S. military will not fight nor set foot in the Ukraine. Those sanctions that were mentioned apparently involve oligarchs and banks in Russia. But apparently they're not slowing down Putin from what I can see or from what anybody can see. So the question becomes, are there any sanctions that can be levied that will stop this guy in his tracks? You know? Are there any economic sanctions that we can do? You hear about one of the first questions, and Biden did, I guess surprisingly to some extent, take a couple of questions after his new sanctions. And one of the first questions was about something called SWIFT, which I had not heard of until recently. It involves the banking system through Belgium and Switzerland, and it is a way of basically cutting off the world banking system cutting off Putin and Russia from the world banking system. However, it's a messy procedure, and it would involve hurting other countries. And two of the countries that do not want SWIFT sanctions, if we can use that term, are apparently Germany and Italy. They feel that these two, those kinds of sanctions will hurt them. So Biden was asked about that, but he kind of, did you notice if you watched the press conference, he just said that we've got sanctions that are just as good or better. He didn't address why they would not impose the SWIFT sanctions, but apparently it's because he cannot get all of the NATO countries to agree. And yet, if we did that, from what I can see, it would basically cut off the country of Russia from being able to work the world stage with its money. And that certainly, I mean, What is Putin going to do if that happens, right? We will get into that a little bit more when we talk with our guest, Christine McDaniel, in just a couple of minutes. She was, by the way, a former deputy assistant secretary at the Treasury Department, so she knows a little bit about money. She was also a senior trade economist at the White House, in the White House Council of Economic Advisors. So, we will definitely pose that question. In the meantime, we are keeping our fingers crossed that somehow, some way, that this thing is going to end and to end quickly. I fear for the president of the Ukraine. He sounds like a brave soul. He is staying in and fighting with his people. He was asked about whether he should say, he said, how can I leave? How could I leave my country at this time? And he's right. So away they go. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, Christine McDaniel and economic sanctions on Putin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, a day that we are keeping all eyes focused on what is going on in Eastern Europe. Well, President Biden yesterday announced new sanctions on Russia over its multi-front war with Ukraine, and 7,000 more U.S. service members to Germany are being sent. But he maintained that our military will not fight in Ukraine. He stopped short of sanctioning Putin himself, by the way. He did not announce a ban on Russia from the SWIFT banking system. He says Europe is apparently not on board with that. He said sanctions in coordination with a coalition of other nations would target more major Russian banks. He mentioned several of them. He said the sanctions will make it harder for Russia to do business in dollars, euros, pounds, and yen. And he said there will be new limitations on what can be exported to Russia. Well, we've got Christine McDaniel with us. Delighted to have her. She is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. She was former deputy assistant secretary at the Treasury Department and a senior trade economist in the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Christine, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely our pleasure. Can't think of a better person to talk with when it comes to economic sanctions. First of all, Christine, do you think that the sanctions imposed so far by President Biden will do the trick?
Well, I guess the question is, what does do the trick mean? Is it about changing his mind, or is it about making it harder for him to do what he's going to do anyway, so he has fewer resources? It does not look like sanctions alone are going to change his mind.
Yeah.
But it could make it more painful for him.
So we talked a little bit before the break about the SWIFT sanctions, which I was not very familiar with until recently, but they keep being brought up as a way of really shutting down Putin and Russia. Do you know, and can you explain those SWIFT banking system sanctions that might be imposed?
So SWIFT is actually, it's a society. It's like a consortium. It's a society for worldwide interbank financial telecoms. And so you can kind of think of it as like the Gmail for global banking. It's run out of Belgium, but it is a consortium. And, you know, the U.S. is, you know, we need other countries to agree for there to be SWIFT sanctions. We had some on Iran, you may recall. There was a first tranche, and that was a real multilateral agreement. The second tranche on Iran was more of a U.S. Decision, but they went ahead and did it. It looks like for the current situation, the U.S. is not yet willing to really force the SWIFT sanctions without EU agreement.
Do you think it's something that should be considered? Would it work? I know that we've got a couple of the countries. I had mentioned that possibly Germany and Italy were not on board with it. Apparently, it's going to gore them a little bit if something was imposed. But do you think it's something that Biden might pull out of his back pocket?
Well, we'll see how things play out. I mean, this is a very fast-moving situation, and the idea with sanctions is they need to be hard and big and fast and well-coordinated and well-targeted. And I, you know, that's what they've been trying to do. But if, you know, it just kind of depends on how Germany and Italy come around. And even the UK, I mean, there are reports of particular oligarchs lobbying, you know, pleading their case to not be included and on the individual sanctions list in front of the UK government. So, you know, that you think you have these oligarchs and they have started, you know, they're doing business around the world, particularly in, you know, in these countries like the UK, Germany and Italy. Mm-hmm. And so that means that the UK, Germany and Italy's economies are somewhat integrated with these guys. And so when you hurt the oligarchs, you are inevitably going to hurt part of those economies.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you spoke about Russia's sanctions. You said for sanctions to work, there must be a united front, a coordinated response. You mentioned that the European Union has a united front, but the question was, which sanctions or would the sanctions be effective? And then we talk about, and you talked about things like the factories that are producing weaponry or other supplies for Russia. And that's a good point. Some of those factories and where they are and how this is being done. Are these things that will be considered, are being done? What's going on with, you know, trying to maybe work on their munitions a little bit more?
Yeah, well, so in these cases, you would imagine that the U.S. government, in coordination with its allies, are sharing intelligence and trying to identify particular individuals and companies and agencies and banks that are working together to move money to and to pay the people who are working in these factories, and then also identify the physical flow of these goods. And, you know, that all takes a lot of transactions, and to the extent it's in U.S. dollars, then the U.S. can have some influence over it. The problem is that Russia has increasingly been moving away from the U.S. dollar, and they have a lot of ways to launder illicit funds. And so, you know, the sanctions can be extremely effective in some ways, but Putin and his oligarchs have gotten very good at laundering illicit funds.
Indeed. We're talking with Christine McDaniel. She is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center and a former deputy assistant secretary at Treasury and a senior trade economist in the Council of Economic Advisors at the White House. Christine, how are these events in the Ukraine, maybe even the sanctions that we are imposing, going to affect people here in the United States economically? We've already, you know, before this whole thing began, we've had an inflation problem. We've had an issue with the cost of gasoline. Now we've got the sanctions going on. We get, surprisingly, almost 40% apparently of the energy from Russia. Do we not? That comes into our country. That's a very scary scenario when we have perhaps the ability on our own to produce all the energy we need in this country. But anyway, right now, as things are going, I would suspect you would feel that it's only going to become economically even harder for us with this Ukraine crisis.
Right. So the longer this goes on, the greater the chance that Americans are going to start to see it, you know, at the pump and on their utility bills. But, you know, look, I mean, energy prices have been heading upward for quite a while, regardless of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And, you know, and some would argue that the, you know, they were probably going to continue rising, you know, even without the invasion. So, but this would just make things even worse, at least in the short term. And yes, I mean, all the more reason to, you know, to diversify our energy supply sources and not have to rely on
places like Russia.
On places like Russia, exactly.
I mean, we know that we can have whatever it takes to say, you know what, we're going to go ahead, we're going to open up the pipelines, we're going to allow the Anwar drilling, we're going to be big on fracking because we are in a crisis right now, and we should not be dependent on Russian energy. If he got up and said that, it would be the greatest thing I've ever heard, but he won't say it. So we're kind of stuck. We're kind of stuck knowing that we're going to have to look alternatively to other places for our energy. I don't think it looks good for us to be purchasing all of this energy from Russia while we are condemning the country and Putin himself. So are we going to be begging some of the, you know, the Arabian countries to help out here? What are we going to do? What are we doing?
Right. So there have been reports that the, you know, administration has been meeting with OPEC on increasing supply there. And then there's also the special reserve reserves that we have, you know, here at home. So they are working to, you know, ensure a stable supply of energy. And right now there's no indication that, you know, the U.S. risks any energy supply issues due to the Russia issue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of diversifying energy sources, it's not going to happen overnight. But looking forward, the question is, you know, how will America remember this event? And then to what extent, you know, will that factor into future decisions?
Yeah. I guess no chance that, I guess the only thing that Biden mentioned is oil reserves and lowering the cost of the federal gas tax. I mean, those are temporary solutions, and I don't know how much of an effect they'll really have here. But he's not going to go whole hog on the energy crisis situation with all of this going on, I suspect. So I guess we're just kind of going to have to grin and bear it, along with the cost of everything continuing to spiral even more so. Let me ask you this, though. The stock market, it actually bounced back a little bit yesterday. I was kind of surprised. But for those of us that have 401ks and, you know, a lot of our money sitting in those, I mean, what's your advice? Do we just kind of hold on and just pray that things get better? I mean, is there anything that the normal investor should do?
Well, I'm the last one you want to ask about financial advice, but you just look at the fundamentals, right? Fundamentals for the U.S. economy are still strong. We have a very strong labor market. You know, we still are, you know, innovating. We have a strong R&D base. Our economy is strong. So, you know, the fundamentals look good for the longer term. But, you know, there's a lot of volatility, and we live in a world with, you know, countries that want to do other things. And you've got to kind of, just like you said, grin and bear it. It's going to be bouncy for a while.
Yeah.
But the fundamentals in terms of the U.S. economy are quite strong.
Sure. So you've probably been asked this, but put yourself in Biden's shoes right now, knowing all that you know and all of the things that all of the constraints he must be under. How would you handle this situation with Putin to try and stop him from doing what he is trying to do? Is there anything you would do differently than Biden is doing right now?
Well, I don't know all the information that Biden has on hand right now, but, you know, continuing to work with allies, and, you know, at some point, you know, our allies are, so far he's been able to hold everyone together on the same page, which is so important in presenting a united front to Putin and the world. And, you know, once he goes further than others want to go, you know, then that united front is broken, and, you know, he has less leverage. So it's hard, you know, it's a hard call. These are sensitive topics, and, you know, you've got to think about the people on the ground in Ukraine, not to mention even the Russian citizens. I mean, their economy is going to be severed from the global economy.
Theirs will be worse, won't it, actually?
Yeah, definitely worse. And the oligarchs, you know, I'd love to see this administration take a stronger stance on going after this long list of oligarchs that, you know, are publicly known. And, you know, why should they be able to skim off the top of the Russian economy, steal from their people, and then benefit from this invasion when the Russian citizens, not to mention the entire country of Ukraine, Ukraine is suffering. So I think I, along with many others, would like to see the administration go after these particular individuals more aggressively.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Christine, thank you so very much for coming on. Great discussion. I know everybody is praying that this thing somehow works its way out, but perhaps down the road we talk again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Sure. Christine McDaniel. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, we are going to, if I can find my page here, we're going to talk with His Eminence, Andrew Ceresi, and talk with him about what is going on with the chance that if Trump had been president with this Ukraine invasion, how would he have handled it?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors. From political to financial and health to wealth, it's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your hosts, political commentator Tim Rice and financial expert Berkeley Badger, will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, warming up here in Tampa Bay. Kind of nice. So President Biden has held office now for more than 13 months. But Donald Trump still occupies a significant space in media coverage. Have you noticed that? Analysis from some of these libs on what he would or would not have done had he been the president while all of this is going on. Here is Eugene Robinson. I can't, you got to hear this one. He's a Washington Post columnist, black guy. And in a piece headlined, "With Biden Standing Firm, Putin Must Wonder, Where's Trump When I Need Him?" Now, he argues Putin had miscalculated by not invading when Trump was in office. He said, if Putin wanted to gobble up another chunk of Ukraine at little or no cost to his own interests, he would have done it while Donald Trump was still president. Can you believe how they turn things around like that? Well, we have the proprietor of the barber poll, Andrew Ceresi, a guy that doesn't think we should, get involved over there too much with the Ukraine. But, Andrew, I just don't think Putin would have invaded Ukraine if Trump had been in. What do you think?
He wouldn't have been able to. He wouldn't have had the money. You see, last year alone, the United States bought 232 million barrels of oil from Putin.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, all the other countries have been depending on Russia for oil, because Biden stopped all ours. If you remember, we were the largest importer or exporter when Trump was president.
Trump got us to be the number one producer. Okay. Yep.
So because moron Biden stopped our industry from producing, Putin built up all kinds of money with the oil. That's their main source of money, Paul.
You're right.
Putin would not have had the money to invade Ukraine and build his military the way he did.
Yeah.
It's all Biden's fault.
Yeah, well,
in
a way, you remember all of the talk with his no-count son, Hunter, and his connection to Russia, and the Ukraine, by the way. Hunter Biden was involved with both Russia and the Ukraine, and also China. This guy really got around to the countries that are really making a difference right now.
You know, Paul, not for nothing. Ukraine's a pretty corrupt country.
Yeah, it is.
Their politics, okay?
Yes, there was.
Now, I almost think that when this goes down, you might see some truth come out about what Biden had influence on with the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think he's afraid of that.
I'm wondering myself if that is one of the reasons that people think Biden is pulling his punches. His punches.
He would punches. He's throwing baby. He's throwing him baby kisses.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you watch?
No punch.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that press conference yesterday when Biden was?
No, I was busy working.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I wish I could have. But,
no, you didn't miss anything.
You know, Paul, and look at these morons, these stupid moron liberals. Oh, did you hear Trump? Trump called Putin a genius.
Yeah, they're trying to say the Trump loves Putin.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a genius because look at how he outsmarted Biden. Look at how he did this whole thing. Biden has no clue of what's going on. Yeah, Putin's a genius, and he makes Biden look like the fool that he is.
Yeah, in fact, some of the people in the media want to paint Trump as a guy that is not all that upset with Putin for doing what he's doing right now, as if he's all good. See, my point about how stupid and wrong Biden is being proved. In other words, that Trump is more concerned with his own image in relation to Biden and Putin than he is with the actual invasion of the Ukraine.
Well, if the people are saying that, what about John Kerry there, Mr. Ed, the talking horse?
Yeah.
Look what he's worried about.
He's worried about the climate change.
Climate change.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Where do these people come up with this stuff? Paul, don't get me wrong. I feel bad for the civilians of Ukraine because they've dealt with a corrupt government for years and years. I mean, the money that's probably been stolen from these people that's been given to the Bidens and everything else. I feel bad for them, but I do feel that Europe should come to their defense.
Mm-hmm. So we've got basically the capital city of the Ukraine, Kyiv, surrounded right now. It looks like it may be a quick ending to this, with maybe the establishment of, a Russian puppet premier or whatever it is, president in the Ukraine. And then we go on about our business. But what what do you think our country should do after all of this, the dust settles? Just try to resume the way we were, or forget about what just happened? What do you think?
Well, I think we're going to be dealing a lot with Putin with all the natural resources there, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. The Ukraine is loaded with natural resources.
Well,
why do you think Biden Putin wants it? And Biden, don't get me wrong.
No, I know.
Been getting paid too.
Well, here's Biden, and he knows damn well he could open up Anwar. He could give his okay on the fracking. He could restart our pipelines, Keystone and the other one. Do the things that would make us more energy independent again, like Trump was doing. But he doesn't want to do that because he doesn't. Obviously, the liberals and the whole bit pushing him from the other side. No matter what, even if a war, even if it brought our country down, they won't do it.
That's right. No question, Paul. Now even if Biden sits there and says, let's sit there and we can put Russia out of business with the oil, it's not going to matter because look at the resources he's going to have with Ukraine.
That's true, too. I don't know how much oil and gas there is in the Ukraine.
No, we're not worried about the oil and gas. That's not what he's worried about.
No. Okay.
There's all kinds of minerals there, buddy.
What about the China-Russia connection here, Andrew? We're talking with the Master Barber, by the way, the proprietor of Mainstream America's most important poll, the Barber Poll. What about Russia and China? Here's the deal. Russia can sell all kinds of stuff to China all kinds of energy to China, right? So maybe this was the other deal. Putin's worked out this agreement with Xi, the premier of China, the president of China. So he doesn't care. They want to go ahead and pull the plug on the Nordstrom 2 pipeline there with Germany. That's fine. We don't need that.
Well, it's simple. China and Russia are at war with the United States right now. But it doesn't have to be a shot fired to bring down the United States. Because it's just like you said. Biden's not good in our own oil independence, so Russia will give their oil to China. They will also sell all the minerals that they get out of the Ukraine to China to produce to put us right out of business.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing to us what Biden throws those baby kisses at them, saying sanctions. They haven't seen nothing yet what China and Russia can do to us because we can't produce nothing. We're not producing our own oil. We're not producing any products. What are we producing? Mm-hmm. We're producing babies in this country. That's it.
Yeah.
And they want to stop that.
On another tangent, I guess, somehow Biden is going to give a State of the Union message. I think it's next week. What a time. Everything has gone wrong. What is he going to say? Hi, everybody. You. Hey, aren't I doing a wonderful job? Look how wonderfully we handled Ukraine and Afghanistan. Look at the cost of gasoline. Look at that southern border. Aren't we doing great? Thank you and good night.
But have you heard anything about COVID, Paul?
Not much.
I haven't heard a thing in the last week.
No.
It's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's gone from the headlines, yes.
Well, that means it's gone because you'll see Biden. That's the only thing he's going to say. I kept my promise. I got rid of COVID. No more mask mandates in this country. And they'll be happy. Oh, look, he set us free.
Yeah.
That's how the Americans are programmed today. He's going to throw them a bone, and they're going to be happy. Meanwhile, the rest of the country's falling apart.
I just can't see anything that he can say other than BS when he gets up there. What accomplishments is he going to talk about?
COVID.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing he can talk about that anybody's going to buy. Even his left flank doesn't think much of what he's doing.
Well, you know, the truth is going to come out. Ukraine is corrupt. I mean, I don't feel too bad for them. You know, you reap what you sow sometimes.
Yeah, I get the impression that you're not big on Ukraine.
Paul, look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what they did.
Yeah, but the people of Ukraine are good people. They've been suffering.
I am not saying they're not.
They've been suffering, you know, forever.
That's right. But you know what? They put up with it. They should have marched on their government. There's 40 million people in the Ukraine, Paul.
Well, and of course, it's like any other place. They've got pro-Russian and they've got pro-Western people. The further east you go in the Ukraine, the more pro-Russian you're going to find, and the further west the other way around.
Well, you know what? Give them the half that's Russian and let the Ukrainians keep the other half. Very simple.
We'll just kind of, we'll draw a line in the sand.
You make them move. Right? They're all moving now anyway.
Yeah, they are. They're going to Poland.
That's what I'm saying, but I guess Poland's not letting them in the borders.
They're not? Why not? Are you sure about that? No, I think they're letting them in. No, they're going to let them in.
So. Listen, Europe needs to take care of their problem.
But we're in NATO, and we agreed to be in NATO. We can't just say
NATO.
But Andrew, if you make a commitment, you're going to have to stand by it, right? You make a deal, you got to honor it, right?
Well,
what are you going to do? Back out at the moment that you're most needed? You're going to say, "Well,
we should have backed out a long time ago, Paul."
Well, possibly.
We should have backed out of it.
But a long time ago, we were the only country that could do anything.
We were the only ones paying to do anything, Paul.
Yeah.
We've been babysitting Europe for how many years now?
No, I agree with you.
We've been babysitting Japan how many years?
Mm-hmm.
We're babysitting it, Paul. We can't babysit the American people, Paul.
But you got to admit, Andrew, that all of these years since the end of World War II, which is what, about 77 years or whatever it is, we have had, relatively speaking, we have had peace.
But Paul.
So somehow we have kept Russia from.
Europe has had peace, Paul. Europe has had peace all these years.
Well,
peaceful.
But overall, we haven't had a world war. But right now, we seem to be on the brink of possibly having something worse than we've ever had since World War II.
Well, you know, Paul, again, you got one person causing all these headaches, right?
Well, we got two. We got Putin and we got Biden.
Soleimani, both of them. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you're right.
You get rid of the problem, Paul, that's what you got to do. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, instead of 50,000 people getting killed, you got one tyrant being killed. See you later.
Yeah, I wondered about the idea of sneaking somebody in there and knocking that guy off. Can't we figure out a way of using a drone?
Trump did, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if we really want to knock that guy out, I don't know what we would get, though. You know, it's
what are you going to get?
Well, I don't know.
You know what that's going to show, Paul? That's going to show you got strength and you're not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what are you? We're throwing baby kisses at him. The whole world is laughing at him.
I wonder if there is somebody somewhere that's plotting to knock him off using a drone or literally, you know, getting somebody inside the country with a rifle or something. You just wonder.
Well, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you're right about that.
It's like I said, out of this whole Ukraine thing, we might find out what a tyrant our president really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know. Well, Andrew,
Someone's going to spill them.
Hmm?
Someone's going to spill the beans. Believe me, the party's not over yet.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
And with Biden turning his back on the Ukraine, I got news for you. Someone's going to start speaking. And I believe Putin will put him right on the main news.
So your point is what now? That when you say someone's going to start speaking in terms of...
I'm saying somebody, once Russia takes over, you're going to see a lot of their politicians start spewing garbage. They're going to be so upset Biden didn't do nothing, they're going to start breaking all the news what Biden was corrupt.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, breaking their silence on the corruption. Got it.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
That would be something to see, I'll tell you. Well, as always, my friend, thank you so very much, and keep our fingers crossed, but God willing, we'll talk again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you, sir. The Master Barber. Okay, let's take our final break. When we come back, speaking of Biden, could Hunter, his son, Hunter's past love life, come back to haunt him? Well, apparently so, and we are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Join the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill every Saturday from noon to 2 as we cover Tampa Bay sports, from the peewees to the preps to the pros, providing a positive perspective in our weekly interviews with NFL alumni and Florida Sports Hall of Fame inductees, as well as collegiate, high school, youth coaches and players, conversations from the clubhouse, as well as entertaining guests weekly. So be sure to have a championship day with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Saturdays from 12 to 2 on the Tan Talk family of stations.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Hey, we are back. Bule Bule for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network is where we are. However, if you cannot listen to us live, Big Ed, bless his heart, has put all of our shows on podcast. All you've got to do, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on that podcast button at the top, and there you are. Pick your show, and away you go. All right. Well, Hunter Biden's women issues could come back to haunt him, as reports have indicated that at least two of his ex-lovers have testified before the grand jury investigating him. Hunter first revealed in 2020 that his tax affairs were under federal investigation. The Senate Homeland Security Committee and the Finance Committee conducted an investigation into his foreign business dealings while his dad was vice president, and they discovered there were at least four large transactions that banks flagged as potential criminal activity to the Treasury Department. One of them, a $100,000 payment from a subsidiary of China Energy to Hunter's law firm. But to date, Hunter's been, you know, avoiding any criminal charge. Now, Zoe Keston, one of Hunter's ex-girlfriends, a lingerie entrepreneur, testified before a grand jury in Delaware for 5 hours this week. She reportedly told the grand jury about Hunter's lavish spending habits at luxury hotels in New York and California. The mother, another woman, the mother of Biden's new child, remember, he fostered a new child with one of his girlfriends. Her name is London Roberts, L-U-N-D-E-N, London Roberts. She also testified before the grand jury. She declined to speak to newspapers after that private grand jury testimony was done. Let's see. So, you know, he's got all kinds of things going on. I just don't know where all of this will eventually lead. But there are grand jury investigations. You know, they're gonna stifle this stuff. It's not like one of Trump's kids, you know. Can you imagine the media coverage if one of Trump's kids was going through any of this kind of thing? It would be unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Well, before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, by the way, the top 10 best college degrees to get right now. I want to talk with Ed. Ed, I have been looking for the Lightning to play a hockey game recently. And for some reason, I get the impression that they're on some sort of a break. Am I wrong?
Yeah, this is the post-Olympic break that they've
had. Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah, see, they would have played in the Olympics, then they would have had a break afterwards.
So that's it.
There's been a few scattered games here and there, but those were makeup games because of COVID earlier in the year. Now, the Lightning have a big game. I can't wait for this one. This is going to be the outdoor game Saturday night in Nashville.
I have a friend going.
Yeah, I know a few people that are going. I think there's a contingent of like 100 fans that are all going at the same time. Well, I mean, there'll be more than that, but a group of 100.
This guy and his girlfriend are going to hop on a plane from here and go up to the Nashville. Of course, they're going to tour Nashville, too, but they're looking forward to it.
Yep. See, the Lightning is going to invade Music City.
Nashville. Now, we got to hope that it's going to be cold enough out there so the ice doesn't melt. That would be an embarrassment.
I'm actually worried about a little bit of snow happening because being the 40s during the day and 30s at night, so there's no chance of that.
But it's going to be cold enough, right? It'll be cold enough.
Yeah, in fact, we had a guest in here said, he said it's kind of frustrating because we spent so much money on the specific jersey that they're going to wear for the outdoor game. He said, but we can't display it because it's going to be so cold. We're going to have layers of, you know.
We're going to have their coats on
over. Yeah, exactly. So.
They can't kind of force it over their coat, can they? They would look stupid. Oh, well.
No.
So what do you think? The Lightning healthy enough now? They got Kucherov back.
Yeah, actually, they're getting very healthy now.
I don't know who can. I would think that they have. Colorado looks good.
Yeah.
They beat the last time those two teams
played.
Always
the Panthers are a little stick in the mud to them.
Florida Panthers.
So
they're good, too. Yeah,
they keep going the way they're going. They could be right there at the final game.
I think it's going to be very exciting.
Final series.
It's going to be very exciting here as we get into the finals of these things, you know. And all right. It is time for our top 10. I think this is a pretty good one. This is actually, it's called the top 10 best degrees to get right now. And it came out under the auspices of an organization called Credible, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E. It's a division of Fox News. But these are degrees that right now, if you went into these things, you would do well right away, okay? So here we go. Top 10 best degrees to get right now. Number 10, aeronautics and astronautics. The median starting salary, you'd get $77,000. Your mid-career salary, about $140,000.
Well, the astronomics has probably got something to do with SpaceX shooting something up every other weekend.
Astronauts, actually. Yeah. In this degree program, you learn fundamental engineering, math, and physics principles used to design, test, and operate space vehicles and aircraft. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Number 9,
actuarial mathematics. Now, that was one thing I know you were good at.
Yeah.
Actuarial mathematics. Your median starting salary would have been $64,300, and your mid-career salary, $143,400. As an actuarial mathematics major, you'll study statistics, math, and financial theory to evaluate the financial cost associated with certain risks. Okay? The risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number eight. Business computing. Business computing. Median starting salary, $73,000 even. Median mid-career salary, $143,600. With a business computing degree, you study business and computer science. You could become a business data analyst to help companies make better decisions by performing business analysis. All right. Number seven. Applied economics and management. Median starting salary, $66,100. Excuse me. And mid-career salary, $146,400. You would study how economic theory works in the real world and in business management. You could become a financial analyst or a chief financial officer. Mm-hmm. Number six, operations research. Starting salary, $83,500. Mid-career salary, $147,400. Do you like to solve complex problems using math? In this degree program, you learn how to use models, statistics, math, and other tools to determine how to solve an organization's problems. You know, it's all the, as I'm looking at these things, all of them have to do with numbers, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yep.
It's always, that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Okay, number five. Case in point, public accounting is number five. Starting salary, $59,800. Mid-career salary, $147,700. As a public accounting major, you study auditing, taxation, accounting systems, and different types of accounting. All right, number four. Interaction design. Wow. Interaction design. Median starting salary, $68,300. Mid-career salary, $155,800. When you study interaction design, you'll learn how to design tech products like mobile phones and virtual reality headsets. Interesting. All right. Number three. Electrical engineering and computer science. You know, these are always up there. You'd start out at $108,500.
Mm.
Wow. And your mid-career be about $159,300. Electrical and electronic engineering jobs will grow by 7%, and computer and information technology jobs will grow by 13%. Okay, number two. Industrial engineering, median starting salary, $84,800. But the mid-career, $170,400. Industrial engineering jobs will grow 14% between now and 2030. All right, here we go. What do you think, Ed? Any idea?
Let's say something with math again.
Well, you know what? It's actually petroleum. Petroleum engineering.
Hmm.
Yeah. You start out at $93,200 and your mid-career is $187,300. Petroleum engineering job openings are expected to rise 8% between now and 2030, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. A large number of graduates with this degree say their work makes the world a better place. Well, hmm. There you go. Petroleum. It's always petroleum. Doggone it. Thanks so much for listening. We are going to be back on Monday, God willing. Have a wonderful weekend. Please remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.